This is a picture of Tony. I gave Placid on my phone and said, take a picture of Tony's reaction when she opened. And let me tell you, she was almost in tears of joy. So your gifts were really appreciated. I really appreciate the way the church came forward. Y'all gave wonderfully, sacrificially. It was amazing to see all the things that came in. And you are very much a blessing to them. Placid's back to all his usual activities. Here we are at Dr. Burger, and let me tell you, the burgers are great. For those of you who have had them already, but he's back to many activities. But on the first day, full day I was there, Tony had called and wanted to know if I would go on a little trip with him. This is the outside of Palmasola Prison where Placido was in. And as you look down, that's guard towers and walls as far as you can see down through there. Of course, you could not take any cameras in there to take pictures. We had to go through a couple different security levels. What I found out was the whole reason that he was put in jail was they considered him a flight risk. Well, they said, well, we don't know if you're married. We don't know if you own a house. Well, that was all very well documented, but someone did away with the paperwork while it was in the custody of the police. And he had to not only prove that, the next level they went to, he had to prove he was not a flight risk. That means he had to prove he did not have an airline ticket to get out of the country. He had to prove he did not have a bus ticket. Well, there are certain bus lines that don't even run out of Santa Cruz. They're in Trinidad and other cities near the border, and his lawyer had to go to all of those cities and prove that there was no ticket for him that he could use to get out of the country. And there was no money in that for these bus lines, so they were in no hurry to do that. And so a lot of this played a role in why he spent so much time in there. He has had to alter his medical practice as a result of this. He now will no longer take care of patients who have already had surgery by someone else, because there's a real epidemic down there of people wanting to make money off of doctors because there's been surgery and that sort of thing. While I was there, I got my first jailhouse tattoo. As you went through each level of gates in there, you got a different tattoo. It was very warm in there. If you sweated and those tattoos got washed off your arm, you might not get back out. So I was walking around like this. What was exciting, while we went, the reason we were at the prison, Placido has a special pass now to get in and work with prisoners. One of the prisoners he got out on time served was a man with prostate cancer who had been there for 35 years without a trial. Because if you don't have family member working for you on the outside, there's no court-appointed attorneys or anything else to help you out. But we went in there for a church service, and at that church service, five prisoners were baptized. These were men who had already come to a saving faith in Christ and had already been discipled to the point of baptism. So that was a very exciting time. Placido's activities, he has his daily clinics. As I said, he's had some adjustments in the things that he does with these clinics. He has his prison visitation ministry there that he is doing. There's also the Dr. Burger. That's a business he started while he was in prison because they weren't getting fed in the part of prison he was at. He had Tony bring the meat grinder in, and they started making hamburgers inside the prison for the other prisoners. Now it's a full-fledged business that Jose runs at night and goes to the university in the daytime, and that helps supplement their income. See, they never have been anywhere near full support. They only have about six or seven churches that support them, and so the mission board allows him to do his medical practice. And, of course, when he's working on people that are associated with South America Mission, there's no charge for them to come see him, things of this nature. And then he does have some private patients, and now they have Dr. Burger. He also has his legal issues, as I mentioned, and also he is the president of RAFE Bolivia, which is the foundation that they started. They actually have a charter from the government. It's for educational and medical purposes. Of course, their idea of education and medical is they eventually want to found a training institute where the people that come to it would get theological training to work in their churches and also to learn a practical skill like plumbing or electrical so that they can help support themselves, because these churches, especially with the ethnic Indian groups, generally there's not enough money to full-time support a pastor. Their work is mainly with ethnic groups, the Indian groups. There's 23 different Indian groups that live in the country of Bolivia. Tony's activities are she continues to do her women's clinics and the birthing center, and I'll get into that in a little bit more detail in a couple of minutes. She does Bible studies. She has at least two Bible studies that she does with Bolivian ladies there in Santa Cruz. And then this past year, tutoring with Emily. Emily's had a especially hard time. You need to pray for her. It was just not the thing with the boat that we were involved with, but the year before there was the dentist that got confused and fell in the river and died. Things that went on with her father being in jail. She had a real difficult time with school. In fact, was just finishing up her studies the week that I was leaving from down there from the school this past school year. This is the birthing center. Pretty nice looking house there. Well, what it is Bill and Beverly Smith are missionaries that have been down there ever since I started going down there in the 90s. She was an emergency room nurse in Miami-Dade County area and went down there in about 91 or 92. They had their house up for sale, looked like it was going to sell, and they were in the process of buying another house, and the door shut both times. They did not have a buyer, and so they finally decided to allow their house, this one, to be used by the foundation for their medical clinics and a birthing center, because they now are having a number of Mennonites that are coming in. There are colonies of Mennonites that are in Bolivia that came in there about 100 years or so ago because the Bolivian government offered either free or very cheap land in order to bring people into the country that would use modern agricultural techniques. And a lot of these people are out in the, without getting adequate medical care. They don't have a true understanding of the gospel by grace, and so they're working with these people. This is one of the room. This room here is set up sort of as a labor and delivery room. You see that doorway there. Through that doorway, then, is an area where there's supply closets. There's oxygen there in case there's some kind of medical emergency. And then the next room in, they have this. They have this spa-like bathtub here. They've already done one delivery in the water in there for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe these are amphibious people. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Okay. This is Bill and Beverly here in the middle, and on the left is a carpenter. They're getting a consultation from him. This area there in front of them used to be their living room. It's now being changed into an exam room. There's already an exam table in there, and so I wanted to introduce them to you. That's a poor picture, but it's the only one I had. I found a carpentry job while I was there. I had to fix some doors that weren't lining up and working, so I had to, I have to find something. Here's the rest of the family. That's Coco and Mia, the pets there at the center. This is the chopta or trailer. This is an important piece of equipment for carrying our equipment and luggage and things of that nature. We had a lot of mechanical breakdowns. If anybody followed things on Facebook, would have heard about some of these things that were going on. Also here at the house, see that white trailer? That is just like the back end of a truck. Well, if they're taking that, they're going to cut holes in it for windows. It already has some doors in it, and that's going to become a consultorio or exam room for the IRA Indians. And then they can camp out in the grass in the back. So this is a dual ministry that they've got going here because it's a nonprofit foundation that they started. There will be some people who come in who are paying people from the community that are not Indian. The Indians are receiving their care for free. And so between the two, it's the idea it's a nonprofit organization. And the Indian people, when they come, they bring their whole family with them. And they may be there for a couple of days. And so this is your typical Spanish type of situation. Homes all have walls built around them. They can be there in the grass, good, safe area for them to be. This is international director for South American Mission. I met while he was there the day as we were getting ready to leave. This is our driver, Keith Wilkie. He's a 12-year veteran missionary there. He teaches at the Christian school there in Santa Cruz along with Bill Smith that I showed you earlier, Beverly's husband. First place we went was San Jose de Chiquitos. We were working with the Chiquitano Indian people and the IRA. We happened to hit there right in the middle of Independence Day and parades and everything else. It was a real exciting time to be there. One place we stayed was a guest house for the Mennonites. This is a German Bible that was in the room where we stayed. I thought that was interesting because these people speak German and the men speak Spanish. They do not allow their wives and daughters to learn any Spanish. And like I said, I've already mentioned how there needs to be evangelistic work done with them because they do not have a true understanding of salvation by grace as we do. The man that I met there, his name was Abe. He just came down from Canada 3 months ago. Him and his wife felt the call to work with these people. And so they're 65-ish years old and coming to the mission field for the first time. It's interesting. We went to the east and the south in Bolivia and ran into mountains, which I thought was all jungle, which was sort of a surprise for me. Interesting, of course, you can look at the trees. See, the wind was blowing. Blew about 60 miles an hour the first night we were there. This is called the Devil's Thumb. It's the remnants of a volcano. I did not climb to the top of that, but I did climb on some parts of it that my wife still thinks I'm crazy for doing. Okay. Had a little unwelcome visitor. That's a tarantula in the shower. Nothing serious. He'd already been crushed, unfortunately. This is Beverly's 90-year-old mother who lives with her in Bolivia full time. She has early dementia. And she was on the trip with us for a while. Again, this is Keith tying down things on top. That was a very important part of our whole team. Keith and his ability to drive and the fact that we had a four-wheel drive vehicle, and I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. This is Elise Sherman, her and her husband and 1-year-old son are in Bolivia for 2 months with Sam Air, checking out the mission field to see if that's for them, if Bolivia is a place for them to be or not. To her right, is Mirta. You'll meet her husband later in this presentation, Cesar. They are IRA Indian. What's significant about this is they're IRA. We're working mainly with Chiquitano, okay? And in the past, the Chiquitano and the IRA actually, their grandparents killed each other in actual battle in the past. So, you know, this is more than just going down the road, giving a track out to somebody you meet when they are going into these areas ministering to these people. The lady in the background on the left is Alta. And she is a nurse assistant who just moved back from Spain. She's originally from Bolivia, and was in our team as well. This is Caroline. Her husband is a pilot with Sam Air. She was a medic in the ER in Mosul in the second year of the Iraq War. She was basically ran the pharmacy for us, and that's her two children are with her. My wife did not want me to put this one in. Okay, I had to put it in anyway. A missionary lady came to see me, was talking about she was having pain running to both of her upper arms. I was asking her a number of questions. I said, I hate to tell you this, but I think you have a herniated disc. He says, really? I couldn't be. I says, yes, I think you need an MRI. Thinking I would never get an MRI. She went and got an MRI. There's no insurance down there, so MRIs are real cheap. And there was a compression of the sac surrounding the spinal cord at C3-4 and C4-5, unless they're at C5-6, and I told her, you need to go home and have surgery. Problem is, she's from Canada. She'll have to be back in Canada a year before she can get in line and wait 9 to 12 months. So we do need insurance like they have in Canada. Sorry, my editorial comment. Okay. I had to get that out before Rich stopped me. Okay. This picture is a little harder to see, but we're putting water in radiators. You notice the trailer, it's empty because the place we're going into, there's no way in the world that trailer will ever make it. In fact, some of our vehicles were lucky to make it in there. Wait a minute. Okay, after we got off the main road, we stopped for a circle of prayer before we headed on in. We had to go about 15, 16 kilometers into the first village of Tobiti, which there was no one there, and then another 6 kilometers on past that to Tia Unya. So it looked okay to start with. That sand we're driving on, if you let this sand run through your fingers, you could not make out the individual grains. It's so fine. It's about the color of Georgia clay. And it's hard to drive in. The big truck we had, pickup truck, Toyota, got stuck about 7 or 8 times on the way. We had to, places had to ford through creeks. We finally made it to Tia Unya. It's not a good picture, but in that picture we see Plaso is back to us. There's over to the left there you see Tony and Bev. Can't make out the rest. The ones on the right are people from the village. Okay. That lady's holding a bag or wearing a bag there. That's something that they make out of a weed down there. Okay. It looks almost like a cactus. I'll show you a picture of it a little bit later. But they beat it out into individual fibers and then weave it back into thread and make those and a number of other things. This is something you would not have seen 15 years ago when I first went down there. If you notice in the background, the lady with the white shirt on the back, that's Emily Mercado. She's got a camera around her neck. They will openly allow us, since we've already developed a relationship, to take pictures because they know we're not going to be making fun of them with the pictures like some people have in the past. They're allowing us to use their communal cooking area to cook on for our lunch that day. This is an IRA Bible. And as you can see behind it, there's one in a plastic bag. We took those in, and every family that did not already have a Bible there received a Bible in each of the communities that we went into. We would also have a service there with them, but when we got there, we were going to have the clinic the following morning that night. It was just too dark to take any pictures without using flash photography, and I didn't want to use flash. After being there, I had to put this slide in for Rich. Rich likes these kind of things. This is a tumor we removed. An incision was only about an inch long. This young gentleman, he's probably about 20, 21 years of age. When he came out of his house, it looked like he had a second chin over here. He had a tumor the size of a grapefruit. And we took it out in pieces, but if you put it all together, that would have been about how big that it was. He had not been out of the village in 4 years. The last time he went to town. They made fun of him. They wouldn't operate on him because he didn't have a birth certificate. Well, he's an Indian. They don't have any relationship with the government. They don't have birth certificates. He was even ashamed to even come to up to the main fire of the village, which was not more than 70 yards from the house that he was living in. He rarely came out of the house. This will totally change his life, that he'll be able to go out side now and without this thing hanging off the side of his face. When Placido saw that and we did, he said, now I know the reason we came here. I mean, they had not been in this community in about 3 or 4 years, or more than that probably, since he had had this condition that long. But you may notice that bag there is a bag that we have that Samaritan's Purse gave to us. It was the things that they had it, and then I put a lot of syringes and medicines and steroids and everything in it, and I was able to do quite a few injections while we were there. In case you think you're having a bad laundry day, just keep in mind it could be worse. Okay, here we are having a church service the following morning before we leave. It's kind of reminiscent of that story in the Bible. Every time the guy tried to leave, the father wanted him to stay and have another meal and have another, you know, there it's have another church service with him. It's real exciting. And to sing with them in IRA. And I'll show you about that in a second. There's some of the people there in the community. On the way out was just as bad on the way on, and we got stuck. The four-wheel drive was behind this truck, so we had to get machetes and shovels and hack and clear land in order to get him back in front of it so we could pull it out. Finally, they let me do some driving, so I'm a Bolivian truck driver. I'm also a Bolivian mechanic now because I fixed a truck with a coat hanger. Okay. I had a football ministry while we were there. Pastor Tiki in the city of Roveray has a ministry to youth who are at risk for going into drugs and also those coming out of the drug life through this soccer ministry has, and we had a clinic for them. I wasn't able to take any pictures at it. You have to be sensitive to who you're working with. He was not able to follow the missionary Great Commission, go you therefore in all the world and take a picture when it came to this one. Okay, this is Uruku. This is a village on the way there. Interesting, it says it's the House of Culture. This was a non-government organization, came in a number of years ago, thought it would be great to build this house where all the ladies could come up together and do their knitting together. Well, that's not in their culture. They would never do that. But at least it's there so that when gringos like us come, we have a place to have a medical clinic. This, unfortunately, is a real problem down there. See, these houses are made out of not even adobe brick. These are just where they put post up, and they put some sticks across horizontal, and they stuff the mud in there. But unfortunately, the bugs that live in the mud carry the Chagas disease, which is a vector-borne parasite that causes a lot of cardiac problems and digestive health issues as well. Should have blown that up a little more. That's a page out of an IRA hymn book, a hymn book about yay big, 3 by 5 inches. The letters in it, though, look just like English letters. Some of the pronunciations are similar to Spanish. So if you see the words, you can kind of sing some of the words along with the IRA. This is an example. Now we're in Santiago. And this is in the far eastern part. This is in eastern Bolivia. Next to it is also a church right across the street. The only place in eastern Bolivia where there's an evangelical church on the city square in Bolivia. This used to be here a missionary school. And unfortunately, the missionaries all like living in bigger cities, and these smaller outposts went by the wayside, unfortunately. This outcropping of rock is just east of town. And you may not have heard about this. What is it? Santiago de Chiquitos. That's a list of 5 men. All 5 were missionaries. All 5 were killed. 9 years before the ones that were killed that we all hear about in the Bridge of Blood and things of that nature. They were killed in December of 1943, right in the middle of World War II. So no one knows much about that. This plaque was erected back in 2009. But that was a situation where IRA were coming through with a raiding party, raiding the Chiquitano Indians, and the missionaries kind of got caught in the middle. And this is the plant that they make, that they get the string out of, that they make the purses out of. That shows you there the purse being made by the lady on the left. The one on the right is actually rolling the fibers into the thread there on the right. This is the village of Ful. You may remember hearing about it a few years ago. They were trying to get it started. It's the only village. I said to Tony, I said, well, you know, every village has to have a water source. He said, well, they tried to do it in Ful without a water source. Had no well, had no creek. They were actually shipping water in. They were so desperate to get away from the villages they were in and all the things that their young people were being, temptations that they were having. But Placido, being Placido, worked with a Japanese non-government organization and got them to dig a well. Unfortunately, they dug a well that was deep enough that the only way to get the water out, it required the use of a kerosene generator, which is a great idea if you have kerosene, or diesel. And so when Keith, our driver, found out about this, we carried about 40 liters of extra diesel on our vehicle because you never knew when the next fuel station was going to be available. And so what he's doing there is we're siphoning diesel out and giving it to that man, filling up a 20-liter jug, because that would last them quite a while to have a source of pumping their water. This is another village. Because the clinic in Ful was so small, we added on another. We're in the house where we're having the medical clinic. What you're seeing there is a wooden table with tiles laid out on the top of that, and that's an open fire built between cinder blocks there on top of the table. That is their oven. I was over across the wall from that. We're doing the clinic. I said, I smell smoke. That's because it was going on right on the other side of the wall with no chimney and that sort of thing. But this was a pretty interesting clinic here. They just kept – we didn't even start about 7:30 at night. And all the guys there apparently played football. and have lots of injuries. And they kept coming for injections and injections and medicine. And that was a very interesting clinic that we had there. One man came back the next morning and says, my life is totally different. I couldn't even go on living due to the pain. An older man. He looked really old, but he was younger than me. But that's just because they age so much worse. I know. It's surprising. I know. But anyway, and he came back. He was like kicking his heels the next morning. This is the youngest pharmacy tech I've ever had. 7 years old, counting our antibiotic pills for us. She's the daughter that the other missionary showed you. And this man climbing back up on the road grader, I just did an injection on his neck, and he was feeling a whole lot better. I had to include this picture. Does not need a caption. He came in and said, fill her up. Actually, you can't see it in the dark. There's a 55-gallon drum on there, and they were getting diesel to take back for the farm equipment. And if you look over in the corner, there's a threshing machine over. That thing was like 30 feet wide. It was enormous. Needless to say, some of these things are funny. Some of these things are interesting. But the number one thing is they still need the gospel. That's the bottom line. Every place we went, except for that one last village, we had at least one worship service with them in the village. This was a little different situation. They had not been in this village before. So we were there. What we did is we individually prayed with the people afterwards, and we treated them. When they go back the next time, they hopefully will. There's no church in this village. This is a village of about 40 homes or so. No church, no known believers in this area. This is the village. I mentioned Cesar, who is an IRA. He originally came from this village. When he left, he was a rebellious teenager. He has since gotten saved. He has been working with Tony and Placido in the ministry for 6 or 7 years now. So in the sense, he was coming back home when he came back to this village here. It's not the village he grew up in. That village was destroyed by a mudslide when he was about 8 years old. But this is basically where he grew up. So it's real exciting. If you notice, think about all the people I mentioned and showed. The large percentage of this team were actually Bolivians. This is very much an indigenous work. This work is not dependent on Westerners coming down and footing the bill and doing everything. It's helpful, and we're there to assist, but by and large, this is a ministry for the Bolivians. That's the whole idea for that foundation that they have started there, is so they can train their own gospel workers. So someday, if Westerners are totally kicked out of the country, their ministry will still go on. That's the idea of what's being done down there. So I thank y'all for the opportunity of sharing what has been happening and trying to give an update to you. Are there any questions?